Your new memoir, a lyrical memoir, is called Like Falling Through a Cloud, and I have read it twice, and I hope that you are prepared when this book is published soon, that everybody who reads it is going to fall in love with you. So brace yourself.
I'm delighted to brace myself for that.
You are writing in, first of all, you're writing in a lot of prose poetry, which is one of the most beautiful ways to read something. And you as a musician, I know rhythm has to be very important to you. And I'm wondering if that's one of the reasons you chose to write in this way.
You know, I am miffed myself as to how it happened. My daughters were concerned that I seemed to be losing it, and they told me and kept telling me I should go and get checked, etc. And when I did, and I was tested for various things, my youngest daughter was with me, and we are great pals, and we sat together and listened to what they were telling us and got on a subway and went back home. And I, at home, sat at my desk staring at the wall. And for whatever reason, I just took out a pen and pencil and started writing. And I don't really know why I did it, but now I know, having completed it, it was a way for me to try to understand what was happening, and that there was this, as they call it, amnestic mild cognitive impairment. And I just kept writing. And after I had about 25 pages, my daughter, who had come with me to the hospital, I said, "What do you think?" And she said, "This is wonderful, Mom. You just keep going." And that's pretty much what happened. I kept going, and I had a lot of people who liked it. But interestingly, it was a real hard sell to get it published, because people were saying, "Well, what is this? Is it poetry?" Well, you know, people need to know, I guess, what exactly are they getting. So that is how it all happened.
There is a poem or a section in the book called Determination, and it has one of my favorite lines anywhere. You write, "I've got to get me some grit."
Yeah, I'm still looking for it.
Sounds like you're finding it. Now, your whole professional life has been about communication, playing the flute, playing music, running concert series, writing books, public speaking, being on TV. Is communication and communicating where you are now and what's happening to you now, is that still paramount for you?
I think so. I am now living upstate in New York with my husband, and it's a little bit different, because there are long periods where I don't see people. It's not like being in New York, you walk out the door and you see five people you know. But I'm loving this, because it does give me a chance to cogitate and see what it is I want to do now and in the future. I feel very blessed that I have a number of things I can do, and I think that I am still cogent, and I hope to stay that way.
There is a lovely part of this book where you are playing the flute. You're playing syrinx of Debussy, and you say in the book that it's something you've played all your life, that most flute players play it all their life, and certainly it's probably part of your DNA. And it's about six lines, but there's a real sense of triumph that you actually played syrinx.
Really?
Yeah, there's a real triumph that it's something you've played all your life, but I really felt that, I was shouting a brava for you when I read that.
Well, I have to say I have played syrinx every day. And now it's sometimes more difficult, but at the same time, it's something that is now really part of my DNA, because I love the poetry that goes with it, and the idea that this nymph, who was being chased by a satyr, found a way to escape. And she cried to the gods to come and save her, which they did. And she triumphed over the satyr. And it, every time I read it now, I think to myself, there's a lot of Me Too in it.
Yes, that's true. You lived a very public life. I mean, you had a private life too, but you lived a very public life for many years. I get the impression it may be a little less so now. Do you miss a public life?
I never thought of myself as having a public life. I thought of myself as having work that I loved to do, and I was very fortunate, and I am very fortunate, to be able to make music with others. To me, that is the most important thing about my life in terms of what I'm doing. And I love to teach, I love to perform, and I also love the things that I can do. And of course, I really am still concertizing, and I am still the head of the local concert series that I've been involved in up here. And, you know, upstate New York is an area that's just filled with people who are doing and trying. And we have a lot of cows, and we have a lot of horses, and we have a lot of incredibly talented people.
So you have a lot to do.
Yes, I do, and I love it. And I love we have three dogs, and we have two horses, and we have a lot of things that keep me going and keep me very, very involved. And I love signing books, and I'm so glad I feel so lucky that I am having a chance to get this book out there. In fact, tonight I am performing at the Alzheimer's Association in New York at their gala. But what's the name of the thing?
Rainbow Room.
Rainbow Room.
Oh, it's a Rainbow Room. Wow.
I get to play in the Rainbow Room, where I've never been. And I'm just trying to figure out, you know, it goes round and round. I wonder if I'll get nauseous as I try to play.
You won't get nauseous, and the audience will listen to you and look out the window and think they're in heaven. The name of your book is called Like Falling Through a Cloud. It is a lyrical memoir. As we finish, what is the one thing you would like people to take away from this book?
I think what I'd like them to take away is that when you have a diagnosis, which is scary, you have to look at it from all angles and make yourself realize you do not have to be a victim of this. It's very important to me and to other things to keep you positive. And I think, if anything, the book is uplifting. It was uplifting for me to write it, and people who have read it say that they find it funny and important. And, you know, there are so many people in the world, but in the United States, so many who are dealing with parents and younger people, et cetera, with Alzheimer's. And I feel that if I can somehow, with my book, make people understand that it is not a death sentence. I mean, it is a death sentence, but it's not immediate. And I think it has made me want to continue doing what I do. And I think also that I really value family and friends and dogs and horses a lot.
Well, I'm thrilled to know you're playing tonight in New York, and the next time I fall through a cloud, I want to be holding hands with you. Is that a promise?
A promise. You got it. But can we dance?
Yes. I don't dance well, but I'll take lessons from you. Eugenia Zuckerman, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. And I want to say just one thing also, and that is, it's so important to live every day and to remind yourself to be positive. And I just, anyone who has Alzheimer's and is listening to this, you can make it tragic, or you can make it something that you learn from. And anyhow, I feel so lucky to be alive.